God, belong mercies and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises, declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips.
And our mouth shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 65.
Thank you. First lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 29, verses 1 to 20. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field and three flocks of sheep lying there beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and the water the sheep and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where do you come from?" They said, "We are from Haran." He said to them, "Do you know Laban, son of Nahor?" They said, "We do." He said to them, "It is well with him." "Yes," they replied, "and here is his daughter Rachel, coming with the sheep." He said, "Look, it is broad daylight. It is not time for the animals to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Now when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of his mother's brother Laban, and the sheep of his mother's brother Laban, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of his mother's brother Laban. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. When Laban heard the news about his sister's son Jacob, he ran to meet them. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Here endeth the first lesson.
Magnify the Lord,
and my spirit.
The second lesson is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 7 to 29. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah," and others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here endeth the second lesson.
Thank you.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
And grant us thy salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen. Jesus Christ. The words of tonight's anthem are taken from verse 9 and verse 12, this evening's appointed psalm, Psalm 65. The music was written by the London-born composer and organist, Maurice Greene. The son of a clergyman, Maurice Greene began his musical studies at St. Paul's Cathedral, where he was a boy chorister, under the direction of Jeremiah Clarke, who is probably best known today for his famous organ composition, The Trumpet Voluntary. Maurice Greene began to have organ lessons at the cathedral at the age of 14 and was appointed organist of St. Paul's Cathedral when he was 24. He had a very distinguished music career, becoming organist of the Chapel Royal, professor of music at Cambridge University, and master of the King's Music. Thou visitest the earth.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there's a saying that patience is a virtue, possess it if you can. Seldom in a woman, never in a man. Except that's not quite true, as our Old Testament reading this evening reminds us. Men can be patient. My evidence? Well, consider the love story of Jacob and Rachel. It seems like love at first sight, and such is the love kindled in them that Jacob is content to wait, to be patient, and to serve some 7 years, years that seemed but a few days because of the love he had for her. Jacob's story, of course, has its twists and turns. He's the second child of Isaac and Rebekah. He is his mother's favourite. He gains Esau's birthright. He deceives his father to get his blessing. Esau, of course, wants revenge, so aided by his mother with his father's instructions and blessing, he leaves. And at journey's end, he meets Rachel, the daughter of his mother's brother, Laban, and falls in love. He works for Laban, not for wages, but to earn his life with Rachel. So 7 years pass that seem but a few days. Here is the story that shows us how love is patient, as St. Paul wrote some years later. And this love affair led me to think about God's love affair with each one of us and the remarkable patience God shows. For rather like Jacob, I suspect that as we think of our lives, and we know that they've not been straightforward, we know that there have been wrong turns and choices through circumstances and bad choices, words that we've regretted saying, things we have done or left undone, God must be patient with us. And we remember those things, they stay with us, those things we regret. I think that's something Herod knew well as we turn to our New Testament reading. He'd had John the Baptist killed, and yet as the story reminded us tonight, we sense he regretted that decision. It was a foolish promise he made when I think probably he was a bit drunk. He'd been beguiled by the dance of Salome. And my sense is he was haunted by it because he knew that John was special, indeed our reading said so. It's the stuff of Shakespearean tragedy, being haunted by our dreams, which is why he thought that the one he had beheaded is back. And yet, to return to Jacob, his patience in waiting for the one he loved invites us to ponder the patience of the God of love, who is endlessly patient with us. Perhaps this sense of patience is why Jesus sometimes uses imagery drawn from agriculture, of seeds being planted, of harvesting and growing vines. To grow and tend the land is to be skilled in the art of being patient. Something that the psalmist knew too, as this evening's psalm reminds us, describing as it does a God who blesses the earth, who provideth for the earth, and who crowneth the year with thy goodness. Interestingly, the psalm also speaks to our New Testament reading too, of Herod and of how our misdeeds prevail against us. Yet those misdeeds are held alongside a sense of a God who is the hope of all the ends of the earth. I know that in my own life of prayer, I'm often mindful of my own misdeeds. I wonder sometimes what God makes of it all as I recall the same wrong choices, thinking the same unkind thoughts. God must be very patient. He must be with me anyway. Yet I ponder, as I say, that patience. For God does not cast me away, but who, as St. Anselm once wrote, tenderly draws us from hatred to love. And that's what Jesus often did with those whom he was given. And though there were moments of desperation and frustration for him, when it felt as if they just didn't get it, he stuck with those whom he called, was patient with them. And as our New Testament reading reminded us, he then sent them out two by two, that they might share something of this patient love at the heart of everything. He did so knowing that some would hear and reject it, knowing that some would hear and be interested but not transformed. But there is a sense he is saying to them, don't worry, make known the good news and be patient. And that's something that we as his followers today need to remember, anxious as we can sometimes be about the future. So rather than be anxious and fearful or angry and bitter about how things are going, we are to simply be faithful, ever mindful and rooted in the patience of God. That same patience that is shown to us as we keep on getting things wrong is for all people, and it brings me back to Jacob, who is captivated by the beauty of Rachel. For our calling is to be captivated by the beauty of God, a God who is love, and part of that love is God's patience with us. Jacob waited because he knew he had found the love of his life. We've found the love of our life in and through our life with God, and are captivated by his loving patience with us, the Holy Spirit at work, gently transforming our lives. Often, and perhaps inevitably, we sometimes get drawn into such a narrow vision for life. We become anxious about ourselves, our work, our leisure,
the life of the church even. As we worship, as we pray, we hold before the God of love our lives, believing in a God who is endlessly patient with us, a God who fashions and refashions us by love time and again, and invites us, inadequately though it will be, to be his patient presence in the world, to be a blessing to an often anxious world. I recently watched an interview with the filmmaker and photographer Wim Wenders. He spoke movingly of the patience necessary for his craft, and of how in some ways he makes documentaries by trying to see with what is he describes as the loving eye of God. Not trying to be critical, but looking for that loving eye of God that he says always goes much deeper. So might we, fearful and anxious as we can sometimes be mindful as we go about our daily lives of the patience of God, whose loving eye tenderly draws us and all creation from hatred to love. Amen.
Jesus said, "When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." Please sit or kneel to pray. As the day draws to a close, we hold before God our prayers and thanksgivings for the worldwide Anglican Church, for all bishops, newly ordained clergy, and all people. We pray to God, the Father of all creation, who gives us all that we have, blesses the earth and all that is in it, and entrusts us to use the gifts wisely and for the benefit of all creation. We give thanks for all that we have and all those who we share it with, our family, friends, and neighbours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold before God the church across the world, for our sisters and brothers in Christ who have gathered today in tiny churches or majestic cathedrals. We give thanks for being able to worship in freedom, to declare the gospel and to share God's love with those we meet. We remember before God those who cannot or do not meet to worship because of others' fear and prejudice. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven was near. May we who worship you now through the power of the Spirit feel the kingdom close at hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold before God the bringer of peace, to instill peace in the hearts of those who have an agenda of violence, hatred, and war. Especially praying for the situation in the Ukraine and for the other troubled parts of this world. We pray for peace to rule in the hearts of the people, for justice and fairness for all, and for a world where there is no division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those sick in body, mind, or spirit. We hold before God the healing of those who are suffering with depression or anxiety. We ask that God will ease their worries, calm their souls, and give peace to their hearts. We pray for those who from this community are in any need at this time and who have asked for our prayers. Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson, Jeff Lidster, David Woodcock, Lynn Perry, and Roger Guy, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mode. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the Father's house there are many rooms, each one a place prepared for those whose earthly life has ended. We remember before God all those who have died in the faith of Christ, and all those whose faith was known only to God. remembering by name Tom Crossfield, Marjorie Wilkinson, and Betty Watson, who have recently died. And on the anniversary of death, we remember Harry Rutherford Sr. and Stephen Noble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, let us not stray from you who are the way, nor distrust you who are the truth, nor rest in any other but you who are the life. Teach us by your Holy Spirit what to believe, what to do and what to say, and in whom to take our rest. We ask this for your name's sake. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.